TalkZone.com.
TalkZone presents The League of Dads, featuring Christopher Smith, the show that helps fathers know their legal and constitutional rights and helps them with custody and child support issues. Here's your host for The League of Dads, Christopher Smith.
Thank you, and welcome to another edition of The League of Dads Talk Radio here on TalkZone.com. Got an interesting show for you today. I'm going to stick to format as I do, as always. Going to start with some emails. I'm going to get into one of two storylines today, and then I'm going to give you a Just My Thought segment of the show, which we normally come and start at the second break of the hour, and then we're going to finish up the show. As I told you what I was going to do, people, I told you in the past on past shows that I was going to reach out to Miss Mary Bradley. That is the mother of Atiyah Bradley. I told you that I would reach out to this individual. I told you that I would give you all the tracking number so that you can see, in fact, that I did mail this individual a item. Well, I did that last week. I reached out to the relatives of Miss Mary Bradley, that is the mother of Atiyah Bradley, who is the mother of my child, to give her a chance to, i.e., prove, in fact, that for whatever reason, I'm this bad person, to try and get her some type of award to reward this woman. Because as I told you all always, on past shows, excuse me, I get a lot of emails from women that just, for some reason, it's, you can say no matter what, the guys are always wrong. I can tell you guys everything that I've been through, and for some reason, I will always find a woman out there that would try and ask me, what exactly did you do in all this? So I sent that letter out to the family of one Miss Atiyah Bradley, which is in Pennsylvania, and that item was received. So I'm quite sure they're listening to this broadcast right now, because as I stated before, they in fact did not know about this show. But we're going to stick into format, going to get into that a little later, going to get into that some more. I'm going to start, as I always do every week about this time, I'm going to start with some emails. And the first one is going to be from Dana, and Dana is out of Woodbridge, Virginia. Oh, neighbor of mine down here, League of Dads Studios is down here in Virginia. Okay. It says, you stated in last week's show that you have been doing this all your life, defending people, that is, and you helped your friends. How so? I found that email to be kind of interesting because when I made the comment last week's show that I have been doing this all my life, this would be helping people, and this is why very soon I'm going to hang all this up, get behind the scenes, going to get someone in here to do the show as well as be the front man for the League of Dads, things like that. I found this email to be very interesting because it's kind of like challenging me to say that you stated in last week's show that you have been doing this all your life and you helped your friends. Last week when I stated I've been doing this all my life, I then stated that when I was in the military, I was the squad leader. I was the corporal when I was over in the first Desert Storm in 1990-91 when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. I also then stated that after that, I was the union representative at the post office where I worked. And now, current, I am doing work with the veterans. I am doing work with everyday people as well as the organization, the League of Dads. I guess I'm reading much into it. That individual wanted to go back to my friends. Well, I'm going to give you an example, Miss Diana. And Miss Diana is out of Woodbridge, Virginia. I went to school in a white neighborhood. Okay. It borderlined the black neighborhood, but it didn't borderline the black neighborhood, the bad black neighborhood that I lived in. It borderlined the black neighborhood. So what happened, and that school is 300 North 13th, Essex County Vocational High School on North 13th Street in Newark, New Jersey. The individuals from Barringer High School, as I stated a couple of shows back, I would never want to go to Barringer. But when the individuals from the Barringer High School had a day off, they used to come up to North 13th, where I attended school at, and rob individuals going home. A vocational high school in Newark, in the Newark, New Jersey school system does not have boundaries, meaning the average public school, you must live near that public school to go to that school, or you went to the closest school to your home. In the vocational school system, you could live 20 miles, 30 miles away from the school, but if you apply for that school, take the test for that school, you'll get accepted at that vocational high school. That was the case with me. Ironically, I only lived around the corner from the school. But there was a lot of individuals, Diane, that took the bus home and were sitting at the bus stop waiting to catch a bus to go home when here comes the guys from Barringer High School, the vultures that they were, would rob these individuals. Well, one day, good friend of mine, James Lewis, was heading home and was approached by some individuals to try to take his leather bomber jacket. Leather bomber jacket, big thing back in early 1980s when I was in high school. Individuals came to him, tried to take his coat. He ran, came and got me. I then pretty much dealt with this individual. And that was 85, 86. So I'm just going to tell you that, Diane, if that's one of the things that I've did, and I'm going to move on to the next email. So I hope that answers your question, Diane, out of Woodbridge, Virginia. The next one is from – the next email that I'm going to read is from Miss Davis. Didn't give her first name, but that's not a problem. Miss Davis out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, said, how did your arrears get so high? You stated that you had $26,000 in arrears. Okay, how did my arrears get so high? All right. As I stated in that show also, Miss Davis, didn't get too much into detail then, but I'm going to tell you now. When I first started this battle with Wanatia Bradley, when I went to court, I didn't know court language. At the time, when I went to court, my employment had changed. Because it was within a three-year window when I went to court, prosecutors in the Monroe County court system, family court system that is, decided that they wanted to use the grandeur of my employment. Even though I didn't have it, the three-year window allowed the prosecutor to then say, well, you worked at this place 2 years and 9 months ago. Because you worked at that place, you have shown that you are capable of producing a substantial amount of income, which is much more than what you're getting now, then we want to use that income to assess your child support amount. Excuse me. So, Ms. Davis, in 1999, that's what happened. I went to court, and they assessed my child support at that amount, at the job that I had previously. Wasn't doing that at the time, but that's what it was. So my arrears got high. I hope that answered your question. As I stated in last week's show, that I had no problem with paying off those arrears because it became a game to me. I think Ms. Davis, and I think a lot of guys will vouch for this, when you first get invited to this arena of a custody battle. And as I also stated on previous shows, both disgruntled and mothers, they don't go to this arena thinking that they're going to lose. They go to this arena knowing exactly your mental state. So as I stated, when I first got invited to fight in this arena in 1999, I was not the same person that I am today. So back then, when all this was going on, that's what happened. When I ended up paying the arrears off, it was later on in my legal career, it was still being drugged through the system as a form of harassment. It's a lot more going to that. I don't know if you listened to past shows, you would have heard some of the things that I said I experienced with going through the child support family court system, both Monroe County, Pennsylvania, and Essex County, New Jersey. So I don't know if you listen to the show. I'm not going to really elaborate on those shows right now. because I got a lot that I want to talk about on today's show. But if you want to send me another email, and that is theleagueofdads@yahoo.com, I'll get a little bit more in depth with you on that. And then if you got anything else to say that I think that I can share with the listening audience, Miss Davis, I would do that. Okay? Hope that answered your question. That's Miss Davis out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The next email is from Tanya. Tanya is from Des Moines, Iowa. It says, do you feel any remorse about striking a woman? I picked this email, people, because this is one of the emails that is kind of like, are you kidding me? It's like a, are you kidding me email. It's kind of like you have the audacity to ask me that type of email. And I'm not going to really rip into Tanya because Tanya obviously is one of those women that, once again, don't really care what the woman does. They're going to come after the father. And that's going to be one of the topic of today's show, going to be fathers that assist their daughters in dealing with individuals, as well as next week's show is going to be mothers. But Tanya from Des Moines, Iowa, I'm going to just tell you, you sound like one of those individuals that really want to just completely ignore what is going on. So let me take you through the situation as it happened. In 1999, Tanya, Atelier Bradley and I broke up. My child was born in 1998. Soon after my child was born, Miss Bradley started to get very violent. She was not violent prior to the child, Miss Tanya. Miss Bradley decided, I'm going to get violent. I have him now. The child is here. He did all these things prior to the child coming to let me know that he is one of those guys, because he didn't have a relationship with his father. He is one of those guys that's going to be there. So I'm going to be myself. You know, I'm going to start beating on him. I'm going to start just waking him up when he's sleeping after working a hard day, asking him dumb questions because I want to argue. There's a lot of women out there, and I'm sure a lot of women knows that there's a lot of women out there that thinks fighting and arguing is love. You can't display a better form of love to a woman. Miss Terry Bradley has proved to be one of those women. So Miss Bradley and I, at that time, we parted. When we parted, Miss Tanya, I gave Miss Bradley a vehicle to get back and forth in, because Miss Bradley didn't have a vehicle. I was paying a note on a vehicle, and I was doing a couple other things that I'm going to tell Miss Bradley about in next week's show. Miss Mary Bradley, that is. All of a sudden, to my surprise, I get a call. Miss Bradley is not doing certain things on her end. I then said, we're going to end this relationship. I'm not going to tell you what I did. I'm just going to say I'm going to end this relationship. Once the relationship ended, I was at my residence. Miss Bradley decided, well, I know he doesn't lock the side door because I don't live in a ghetto. I leave my side door open. At that time, I left my side door open all the time. Miss Bradley decided that I'm going to come up to the house. I'm going to enter through the side door. I want to pick a fight with him because that's all I'm good for. I'm disgruntled. I'm going to stay in my zone. So Miss Bradley comes. She brings the child, and all she does is she comes in the house and just starts staring at me. She made a couple of comments. You're going to regret what you're doing to us. I'm going to regret what I'm doing to us. Okay. Never told me what I was doing. But I had my child in my arms, and so we're walking outside, back out the side door. I thought it would be best that this individual leave. I had on a shirt, button-up shirt. That shirt got ripped to shreds because it was being tugged and pulled on. I had numerous scratches all over my body during this fighting. This is why I tell a lot of guys that once a woman makes contact with you, in fact, you have been hit. When I give seminars, I tell guys, you may think it's cool when a woman is getting in her little mode and she's fighting at you and slapping on you and punching on you and scratching on you. You actually think you're blocking it. No, you're not blocking it. She's actually hitting you. Through all of that, I got hurt. Ms. Bradley then decided that she was going to re-enter my residence, my house, she didn't live in, and decided she wanted to call the police from my phone. I followed her back into the house, walking up the stairs. It was at that time, Ms. Tanya, Ms. Bradley then turned around and tried to push me down the steps. I froze. I didn't know what to do. I'm trying to, like, I got my daughter in one hand. I got my hand on the rail with the other hand. I knew that if Ms. Bradley would have been successful, I would have been hurt and my child would have been hurt. At that time, Ms. Tanya, I decided what I would do is I would lean into this woman because I had to let the rail go and punch her over the top. I had to come over my head because she was a step or two ahead up above me. At that time, what I did, I made contact with the side of Ms. Bradley's face. It swelled up like a balloon. When I punched her, she stopped because I hit hard. Called the cops, ran next door to her family's house, the one that I sent the letter to, Mrs. Mary Bradley. Ran to their house, called the cops. In Pennsylvania, the state police governed that area where the house is. Three squad cars came with two state troopers apiece. One or two state troopers remained next door at Ms. Bradley's residence house. Four state troopers came to get the guy that struck the woman. Once they seen me and seen where my shirt was, because she ripped my shirt off, all the time I have my daughter in my hand now, the cops looked at the situation and said, "Damn, are you okay? Wow." Then one of the officers turned his flashlight off and said, "Hey, you got this? Yeah. All right, I'll see you when you get back to the barracks." Once that happened, I knew I wasn't going nowhere. The cops asked me repeatedly, "Are you sure you're okay? Buddy, you look real bad." Went back next door, told Ms. Bradley that he can't arrest me. It was at that time that the disgruntled woman, now she's yelling and screaming, "Look how he hit me. Look at me. Look at me. He should go to jail," yelling. Her family now is giving her all this support. This is what I can't understand about a lot of individuals. It's also going to be, as I stated, the topic of today's show. Women that want to act disgruntled, how on God's earth do they get support from their parents or their family members? Nevertheless, so Tanya from Des Moines, Iowa, should I then had said, I'm not going to strike this woman when someone is trying to do you harm? Should I have then just said, okay, I'm going to let this individual be successful at pushing me down the stairs, and then what? And by the way, Tanya from Des Moines, Iowa, the copy of my restraining order has all this on my restraining order. 11 years ago. So I'm telling you about something today that I have no reason to lie about. And nothing that I said on the broadcast and in the existence of the League of Dads Talk Radio has been a lie. In fact, if any of this is false now, I'm basically accusing a woman of trying to push me down the stairs. I'm basically calling a woman disgruntled because of those actions. Where's the lawsuit? That's slander on a grand scale. And once again, the definition of slander is when you make a remark to a public forum that is not true. Let me say that again. When you make a remark in a public forum that is not true. So, and I'm saying that, where's the slander lawsuit? Because whenever a woman has, a disgruntled woman that is, excuse me, has shown a large example of disgruntledness, just reckless acts, they have a strong need to feel as though I need to defeat this individual. Ms. Bradley will not be happy, and she would not, her main goal, let me say this, was to see to it that I get locked up, I never see my child, and my life is destroyed. That was her goal. If there is another goal of constantly lying to the policeman officers, Ms. Bradley had actually went and put a restraining order on me. Her restraining order is blank. My restraining order was in full detail. This is when I first start to understand the court system and how they allow not just disgruntled women, to come in there and drag men into the court system. Because, as I stated before, the courts make money off of everything that you do in the courts. They make money. I think the United States is the only country that profits off of the imprisonment of their citizens. I truly think that. I think that no other country profits off of the imprisonment of their citizens like the United States. And because of that, these women, as disgruntled as well as women, they run to the courts because the courts is going to automatically be on their side because they get money for having cases open. Tanya, I hope that answered your email. Listen, when we come back off a break, I am going to get into the storyline, number one. This is the League of Dads on TalkZone.com. We'll be right back.